which indicated capitulation to Rome, were now confessional marks. Brandenburg first retained many of the Roman ceremonies in order to demonstrate its continuity with the Roman Church. And then it retained the same ceremonies as marks of Lutheranism against the attacks of Calvinism. During the Second Reformation in Brandenburg, the Calvinist ruler tried to get rid of such ceremonies but ran into heavy resistance from Lutherans who regarded the liturgy as the mark of true Lutheranism. Article 10 addressed the specific situation of confession and was not a call to be perpetually anti-Roman Catholic in liturgical matters. Rather, it places the burden on the church to refrain from biblically unmandated practices which give the impression that she is surrendering her confession, that should be amended, which are forced upon her. At the same time, the church must maintain practices which reflect her confession. In 16th century Saxony, Lutherans were forced to act like Roman Catholics, and in 17th century Brandenburg like Calvinists. In each case, they applied the same principle and resisted. The fourth commandment requiring obedience to civil authority, which is especially tossed around by us Lutherans, had no place in or for the church. 12, the United States, Catholic-controlled Saxony, or Reform-controlled Brandenburg. Unlike Europeans, Lutherans in America are not subject to governmental interference in matters of doctrine and liturgy. But culture exerts a subtle, some would say profound, control. This often unrecognized pressure does not evoke the resistance which evoked government intervention does. If Latin language speaking countries have a predominantly Catholic culture, the American and British English speaking countries are mainly influenced by evangelical Protestantism of the Arminian type. In America, Roman Catholicism drinks from these waters. What would a Roman Catholic Mass be without Amazing Grace? Or what would the inauguration of the president be? Well, I know what it would be like. It would be like Missouri Synod service. Neo-evangelicalism comes as close as possible to being an official language in the United States. Billy Graham is the official court preacher. And more people probably know and definitely understand the words of How Great Thou Art than they do the Star-Spangled Banner. Our prototype is Reform-dominated Brandenburg rather than Catholic-controlled Saxony. 13, maintaining or reclaiming the heritage. Pietism and the Enlightenment have made locating an unbroken doctrinal and liturgical succession from classical Lutheranism to the present Missouri Synod impossible. If ours is a repristinationes theology, then our liturgy has also been repristinated. Missouri Synod confessional theology was literally resurrected or reconstructed out of a Protestant, German Protestant tradition whose most positive feature was pietism. No pure apostolic tradition in theology or liturgy exists for us. It is not surprising that our father's first attention was to theology, and only in this century have we looked for our liturgical foundations. The 1941 Lutheran hymnal with the service for the Holy Communion was a monumental achievement in reasserting the traditional liturgy and achieving uniformity over a broad geographical and cultural spectrum. Since we are still more likely to see things in a Protestant context, which thrives in asserting its freedom from man-made forms, it may be difficult to imagine the Reformation did not mean that the Lutherans stopped being Catholic and doing Catholic things. The Augsburg Confession is adamant about this. We are unjustly accused of having abolished the Mass. Without boasting, it is manifest that the Mass is celebrated among us with greater devotion and more earnestness than among our opponents. The apology is hardly less reserved. We keep traditional forms such as the order of lessons, prayers, and vestments. Lutherans were claiming to be more Catholic than the Papists. About 20 years later, both sides in the Adiaphora controversy kept a liturgy in place whose parts were found in the Roman Mass. Liturgy for Luther, Melanchthon, and Chemnitz was not a matter of creative construction or selection among several options, but belonged to their church. Churches were not voluntarily formed assemblies forging liturgies for themselves. Such was the legacy of the Enlightenment and Schleiermacher in Europe, and Charles Finney and Revivalism in America. Their doctrine of the church differed essentially from Luther's. Church and liturgy were inherited gifts of divine grace. Synods or territorial churches and not individual congregations had liturgical responsibilities. Creating liturgies is as much an oxymoron as covenanting together to form a church or even a synod. In being Catholic in their liturgy, Luther and especially the Lutherans in Brandenburg were not Romanists or submitting to the Pope, but maintaining their faith, which they confessed and inherited from Rome. Without this claim, they were a sect. Any thought of a liturgy adjusted to culture would have been strange to the Reformers. An American liturgy is as repulsive as an Asian or a German one. Freedom in Adiaphora was never understood, especially by Walther, as self-emancipation from Rome. That final step that which a recalcitrant Luther could never take. Martin Chemnitz, a chief architect of the formula, enforced liturgical uniformity in the churches of Braunschweig, for which he was superintendent. Article 10 was not a liturgical declaration of independence, but unfortunately it has become so in American Lutheranism. The claim that they, the Lutherans, celebrated the Mass with more solemnity than their opponents is not made inoperative by Article 10 of the formula, but affirmed. And I make a reference to an article in 38 there by Leonard Klein in Lutheran Forum. Liturgy per se is not an adiaphora, a collection of rites and ceremonies that embellish word and sacrament, but are somehow indifferent to saving faith. Word and sacrament necessitate a liturgical order. So the Augsburg Confession affirms that we celebrate the Mass faithfully every Sunday and Holy Day and all other times when there are communicants. The Mass, not something else. Even though the formula, paragraph 14, Article 10, church practice, does matter. Even though the formula has 12 articles, the 10th is the last of the articles in both the formula and the Book of Concord to address church practice. Each article of faith is played out in practice, which must correspond to what is believed. Practical matters, the adiaphora, are not devoid of theological consequences. Where practice is not seen as a matter of theological concern, church life is trivialized. Just as the last two of the Ten Commandments, which forbid coveting and so internalize God's law by applying it to the heart, inform the first eight, so Article 10 informs and shapes all other Lutheran articles of faith. Article 10, however, is not the first to be concerned about the theological import of church practice. At first, Reformation Lutherans sought a precision in doctrine which they could not immediately demand or expect of church practice. No such leeway was allowed in the Augustana or the Apology. Denying the cup to the laity, mandatory celibacy for priests and monastic vows were proscribed as wrong. Practices mattered. Article 10 of the formula takes another tact by placing the burden on the church to recognize those practices which are not offensive in themselves, but become so because of specific situations. The freedom and demand to distinguish between acceptable and unacceptable practices brought the early Christians to the brink of division and observing Jewish ritual. Paul, who had opposed Peter for eating with Jews and not Gentiles, returns to Jerusalem and performs rituals required of practicing Jews. 15. Scriptures, confessions, and liturgy. Subjecting ancient church liturgies, which is a Missouri Synod practice, to doctrinal review is not without problems, though it is synodically required. It may not take into account Scripture's origin in and for the early church's liturgical life. Scriptures are as sacramental in their purpose as they are Christological. Since the beginning, church liturgies preserved the Scriptures and made them accessible to the people as no other medium, including sermons, historically has. Pictures of Luther detaching the Scriptures from church imprisonment with a chain cutter to give them to the people may be misleading. Scriptures are themselves confessions and are preserved in the liturgy as confessions of what people believe. Since people confess only what they have first heard, Scripture, liturgy, and confession constitute one reality in which each constantly informs the other. This process of mutual reciprocation is curtailed when the Scriptures are no longer recognized as normative word of God, or the church's formal confession is shelved as a historic relic, or her liturgy is replaced by contemporary creations adjusted to fit the perceived desires and needs of the audience. Current examples of each aberration are commonly known. Without formal confession and liturgy, the church becomes no more than a community association with self-defined and continually redefined religious purposes. In the Missouri Synod, they are called mission statements. The church becomes a Volkskirche in the worst sense of that word, an association defined by like-minded individuals. She forfeits her claim to Catholicity and eventually to being church. The Lutheran definition of church is created and recognized by the word and sacraments, requires that she be believed as a divine creation, Christ's body on earth, called, gathered, and enlightened by God, and not chartered, constituted, and incorporated by the voters' assembly. Her liturgy and confessions as aspects of a common faith are defined by her Lord and are not adiaphora. Where the faith is preserved in formal confessions, but not in the church's liturgical life, then those confessions are de facto disregarded, and her faith is already dead. Not only for reasons of doctrine, but also church practice. The Missouri Synod has traditionally often refused fellowship to other churches. To paraphrase James, faith without corresponding liturgical practice is dead. Doctrine, you can do it. Let's hear it for Lutheranism. I shall return. Even I have to get my shoes wet. Doctrinal review for liturgies at best assures the absence of error without assuring its Catholicity and the presence of truth. The process itself may assume and so concede already that each community is permitted de novo to create liturgy. Questionable is whether any liturgies copyrighted by Maranatha are really creations out of nothing. Kind of reminds you of your bulletin, doesn't it? The editor of First Things, with the traditional lack of modesty, calls the proposition where orthodoxy is optional, orthodoxy will sooner or later be proscribed. He calls that the Newhouse Law. He might have said where orthodoxy is labeled adiaphora, orthodoxy will sooner or later be proscribed. In the 1970s, the Missouri Synod was on the brink of corporate destruction because one group, descriptively self-called gospel reductionists, made the law and the gospel the only doctrine and regarded other doctrines in biblical history as optional, res indifferentes. The chief article became the only article. Should the Episcopal ELCA alliance succeed, it may only be because Lutherans are willing to concede that calling this the chief doctrine is optional. More and more Lutherans see the historic liturgy as optional. If current predictions are fulfilled, Traditional liturgy may exist only as an historical oddity, an antique demonstrating how we used to do it, like singing German Christmas carols, which nobody understands anyway. Unlikely are the Prussian Union horrors, where pastors insisting on the Lutheran agenda and refusing the Prussian one were imprisoned. But liturgical practices are factors in calling and retaining pastors. Again, we reword the Newhouse Law, where traditional liturgy is optional, traditional liturgy will sooner or later be proscribed. It took over two centuries, 1619 to 1830, for Reformed authorities in Prussia to enforce by law a Calvinistic-friendly liturgy on Lutherans. They understood what we may not, that by adjusting the liturgy, one adjusts the confession. Manipulating the form alters the substance. Church practice is never incidental, adiaphron, a matter of congregational and personal choice, but of faith and confession. In finding a way to resolve current differences, the first step of agreement is the ordinary, the historic service was not understood by the confessors as adiaphron. To conclude, 17, an unscientific postscript and a prayer for relief. A spokesman for the most self-consciously conservative Lutheran body in America claims, "There is room for much diversity of custom in the church." Since these words are found under the heading adiaphora, not divisive of fellowship, customs are adiaphora, which are identified as rites and ceremonies of Augustana 7, an argument used by Missouri Synod Church growth advocates. Listed among customs are worship styles, baptizing by immersion or pouring, ministry of school teachers, that's the Wisconsin doctrine that parochial school teachers are the ministers mentioned in the New Testament, a popular view in the Missouri Synod, diet, clothing, use of alcoholic beverages. Besides noticing the similarity with Missouri Synod problems over worship styles in the ministry, the inclusion of diet, clothing, and alcoholic beverages suggests that adiaphora may have been expanded beyond confessional intentions. For the reader's information, the choice is between abstention from adult beverages and using them in moderation. Moderation is not an adiaphora. Adiaphora has become so broad that anything beyond justification by faith could be considered adiaphora, and even this might be slightly adjusted by the ELCA. Items which have been listed as matters of indifference among Lutherans at one time or another have been matters of worship, including the reading of the gospel during the service of the Holy Communion, the creed, the words of institution, the forms of ministry, diet, clothing, food, house shoes, and all my... almost sounds like Zion on Sunday morning. Use of alcoholic beverages, exorcism and salt in baptism, ordination and confirmation by bishops, ordination in any sense, ordination for anyone. Recently, the Wisconsin Synod ordaining male parochial school teachers with the prospect that females may soon be eligible, Corpus Christi processions, fasting before communion, confession to a priest, alms after confession, etc., etc. Smoking used to be an adiaphora. In the face of these options, a revised, enlarged, and slightly amended edition of Article 10 of the formula seems an admirable goal, but clearly inadequate, and with the range of possibilities, impossible. With everyone doing what is right in his own eyes, mandatory liturgical conformity or legalism is not without its attractions.